When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. Josh here is on vacation, so I am not on the episode, but you have your favorites, obviously, Toss and Nick, and one of our all-time favorite guests, our boy of LAFB, Los Angeles Football Network, host and creator and founder, Ryan Dyrud, joining the show to talk some Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick, and a whole lot more. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out. Hard hit into right. Back at the wall. Tie game.
John Cena.
All right, guys, you heard it in the intro. Toss and I are ripping this one with our special guest, Ryan Dyrud of the LA Football Podcast, LA Football Network. He's a returning guest, one of our great friends at the Believe Network. Ryan, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, fellas. Thanks for having me. Excited to talk some sports during this unprecedented time.
I know. Congratulations. Ryan is a new father. Mia just got brought home 3 weeks ago. How are we doing over there?
Doing good, man. You know, just getting sleep when we can, and appreciate that. I feel like every time I talk to you guys, I get showered with love and blessings. So I appreciate that. And she's been home now 3 weeks, so it's been fun. Just actually getting to know her and seeing her in our home environment. It's been crazy.
I gotta ask, are you gonna raise her a Broncos fan?
Yeah. She's gonna be a Broncos fan. I mean, she'll eventually take over LAFB Network as the first female CEO, but she's still a fan of the Broncos at heart for sure.
Of course.
She's already got a little cheerleader outfit and all that. So
Is your wife a fan of a specific team?
No. I buy her Broncos gear, but she could care less. She's a Dodger fan. I give her credit for that. She actually follows the Dodgers and probably the Lakers too, but football, you know how some women just, they like drinking the beers at the football game. That's it. So that's what she does.
Of course, right? They cheer when there's a touchdown and that's about it.
Yeah. She'll cheer when it's the other team. Like, no, babe, that's the wrong team. Like, we need to not cheer right now. And, oh, okay, my bad.
What was it like being a father celebrating Father's Day this year for the first time?
That's right.
As a father?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was weird, man. Like, it didn't really fully sing. I'm trying to think what we did. I feel like we did something, but yeah, it was cool. Like, my wife got me a gift from like my daughter, which is, you know, we used to always do that growing up as kids. I'm sure you guys did too. Like, your mom would buy a gift for your dad, but it's like, oh, it's from Toss, from Nick. Like, you didn't actually do it. So, I mean, my daughter's 3 months old, but I got like a cool, like, whiskey craft and stuff. So it was cool though. It felt weird, like people telling me Happy Father's Day. So
yeah,
nice.
I'm sure you probably got more calls and texts than you usually do.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, all my uncles, like, Happy First Time Father's Day. And I remember we did it. We went over to my brother in law's house. But yeah, it was cool, man. Something different, but fun.
That's awesome, man. Yeah.
Just kind of comes with the territory.
Yeah. You know, in the past, everyone else, guys without kids, we used to celebrate Daddy's Day, but now it's Father's Day. It's the real deal.
True that. Yeah. Normally on Father's Day, you know, I'd be watching a baseball game with my dad or something like that, you know.
Yeah, usually the U.S. Open was what I'd be watching, but
U.S. Open, yeah, like you know, all of MLB usually has like the baby blue baseball bats mm-hmm. and like the baby blue hats and socks. Like, I love how MLB kind of gets into that, right? Where like a Mother's Day they wear pink, you know, they do like military appreciation where they, you know,
wear the camo in their
camo hats, like accents in their letters and stuff like that. It's really cool that MLB does all that.
Yeah, you know, my favorite MLB Father's Day moment, it's fairly recent. I can't remember who they were playing, but I'm a Rockies fan too, you know, being from Denver. I don't know if you remember this game. The Rockies were playing, I want to say the Giants, but I'm drawing a blank. But it's on Father's Day. They're wearing the baby blues. Down, I think they're down one or two, bottom of the ninth. Nolan Arenado hits a home run for the cycle and a walk-off to win the game.
I do remember that. I remember
and
that.
And he comes into the home base, has a cut on his eye. He's, like, screaming, has that great photo. It was on, like, Sports Illustrated, I think. But
he's a beast, man.
Oh, he's so good.
That guy is such a beast.
So good, yeah.
I mean, for me, I mean, I think Josh will also say the same thing. I think he's a top three player in the league.
I think so. I think if he was on any other team, for sure, he'd be unquestioned. But there's still that debate just because I think he plays for the Rockies and there's the Coors Field effect. True. But I think he is, hands down. I mean, you just see what he does in the field and with the bat. But anyway,
yeah, he's a pretty amazing fielder.
Yeah,
I don't remember, I hadn't watched him much, but we were watching like either the pregame, maybe it was for the All-Star game, honestly, Nick, and I think it was the three of us watching it with a group of our friends, but he was taking an interview while like fielding backhanded like at third base, just like fielding ground balls and flinging them to first. Obviously he's got a hell of an arm, he was continuing to talk with whoever he was, either on the mic talking to a guy up in the booth, or there was actually a guy on the field, I can't remember, but I was just like, how is this guy doing this?
Yeah, well, and you see these plays, and you see this in just all sports, you see these guys make these incredible plays, OBJ with the one-handed catches, and you think like, do they practice this, or are they just that talented? And I saw a video of Nolan actually laying on the third baseline, laying flat. Someone was hitting him ground balls while he's laying flat, and he's catching him, throwing him from his back to first base. So you see him make these plays, and it's like, well, he actually does practice it. It's not just, like, random.
But, yeah, man. The guy, I mean, he's not human.
No.
He's not. Yeah. He can do it all, you know. Yeah. He could hit. He could run. He could field. I mean, that's what makes you a top three player in the league. I mean, you look at Mike Trout, does the same thing. You know, you look at Ken Griffey Jr. when he did it, same thing. I mean, they could do it all, so.
Totally.
Speaking of cannons, we'll get into some football because, you know, you have a football podcast and we like to talk a little football. Some big news in the NFL came through the pipeline a couple days ago. Cam Newton finally finding a destination, going to the New England Patriots. How do we feel about that?
I mean, was it really a surprise when it finally happened? I think the surprise was that it took so long, but I feel like we were all like, he's going to end up with the Patriots. Everyone's going to talk about them. Jarrett Stidham, are they going to regress? Are they even going to be over 500? Are the Bills now the team to beat in the AFC East? Of course, Cam Newton goes. Now the Patriots are the team to beat again. You know, they're obviously his health is an issue. But overall, and I'm obviously curious your guys' thoughts, but I think overall it's good for both parties. One-year deal, get him for super cheap, like $7.5 million. So it's a prove-it deal for him. If he plays well, then he'll get another big contract that probably finishes out his career. If it, you know, goes bust, then they can say, well, we gave you a shot. We still have Stidham in the wings, and we'll go from there. So overall, I think it's just good for both parties.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, to your point, that we're surprised how long it took. And that's why I think it was a little surprising that he signed with the Patriots, because I thought that, if he was going to do it, Bill would have done it already. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And, you know, here we are, July 1st, and, you know, it happened a few days ago. You know, I'm sure Stidham's not happy, but, I mean, at the same time, it's like, this isn't a former MVP, a guy who's been in the Super Bowl before. I mean, you know, who's going to fill the shoes of Tom Brady? You know, Jared Stidham or a former MVP? And you got to go with Cam Newton here. And I like that it's a one-year deal, so they can kind of give it a year where it's like, all right, like, if it's, you know, if it's a good match, then, like, we'll extend them. And if it just falls flat on its face, then no worries. You know, we're not committed for the long term. But it would be such a Bill Belichick move for, like, Cam to win a Super Bowl, and then he just doesn't pay him and just, like, drafts a quarterback.
Right.
That'd be the biggest Belichick move.
Oh, totally. Totally, yeah. And it still is weird, as you said, why it took so long. I know a lot of it was no one could do physicals during the free agency period with the whole, you know, coronavirus. And I think his last physical he passed was back in, like, early March. That's all teams had to go off of.
Right.
But still, like, why wait till now? So I think that's definitely the big mystery question mark. Like, because he missed all the, you know, virtual meetings, getting to know the players, and now he's basically coming in raw for training camp. And that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, you see he's been working out like a beast. I mean, I think he's going to be just fine. You know, a lot of people have question marks on the injuries and is he healthy enough to play. But you got to consider that this guy, you know, he's had almost 2 years off of football, right? And I think by that time he'll be pretty healthy. I mean, Adrian Peterson took him a year to get back to where he was, you know, on MVP level, running, setting records and running all over people. So I mean, I think Cam Newton can do this. And you know, if there's an organization that's gonna cater to him and make sure that, you know, he's in the right system, it's the Patriots, because I mean, they've got the defense to keep him off the field, and
he doesn't have to be great. He doesn't have to be a top, you know, seven quarterback in the league statistically.
Call me crazy, but he could be an upgrade from last year's Tom Brady.
I don't disagree with you. We had this talk, I think. I can't remember if you were on my show, Nick, or I was on your guys' show again. We were talking about way back when Cam Newton or Tom Brady come to the Chargers, and I said, you know, I don't think either of them is necessarily a huge upgrade over who they have. Granted, you have the face value, but I do think Cam Newton could be an upgrade over Tom Brady. And you look at what the Patriots did in this offseason, and you look at what Cam Newton's career is, he's great throwing the ball to running backs. Well, you got Sonny Michel and James White in the backfield, and he's great to tight ends. And what the Patriots do, they went and drafted back-to-back. I think they drafted, what, three overall tight ends, two back-to-back in the draft this year, so they loaded up on tight ends. So he kind of fits in that system perfectly for what he does. And, you know, yeah, I don't think he can be much worse. I'm not saying Tom Brady was horrible, but he was very middle of the road last year.
Right.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, I've been a Cam Newton fan since he came to the league, since his college days, you know, Auburn winning a Heisman, winning a national championship, wearing a Cam Newton jersey right now for the people who can't see the video. But both you guys can, you know, testify to this, that I was so on board with having Cam come to the Chargers. You know, I was very, very pro Cam to the Chargers, and I'm a little jealous that the Patriots got it done. I mean, we'll see what happens with Justin Herbert. You know, I want to have faith in him as a Chargers fan, but I mean, he's not a foreign repeat. You know, he's not a guy who's been to the Super Bowl. He's a guy who played for Oregon and didn't get to the national championship and never won a Heisman. You know what I mean? And Cam has those boxes checked off, and you know, he's an established winner already. So, you know, it's the immediate results. And you know, I think you can also, you know, agree with me on this, Ryan, that the Chargers have a win now roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those rosters that looks really good on paper. You know, they've probably got a top three defense in the league, maybe the best defense in the league with, you know, some of their new additions and Chris Harris.
Totally.
You know, I think that Cam Newton would have been the good fit, but you can't blame the guy for trying to prove the entire league wrong and putting himself in the best position possible to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, I think I was always pretty adamant anti-Cam of the Chargers. Nothing against Cam. I've just never been a huge Cam guy. And I thought, especially knowing they were pretty much, this was even before the draft, but knowing they were going to take a quarterback at some point in the draft to build for the future. So Cam wasn't going to be the future if he brought him in. So I was like, why waste, you know, upwards of $20 million for 2 years? But then looking at the contract, one-year deal, $7.5 million, I would have been on board for that. Why not come in for 1 year?
Why not?
Herbert's not going to play this year anyway. Is he a huge upgrade over Tyrod Taylor? That's a whole debate entirely. But I don't think he's any worse than Tyrod Taylor, and he does. I think one thing a lot of Charger fans have said is he's going to fill seats having Cam Newton here in Los Angeles. He's a much sexier appeal to the stadium, to the city of Los Angeles. So if you get him for that 1 year, $7.5 million, then yeah, all for it. I was more thinking it was going to cost them a 2 to 3 year deal, full $25 to $35 million, and why shell it out when you're not even going to have him as your future? But on a 1 year rental, I think it would have made sense. So you see the deal, like, man. They kind of
You want to know why he waited so long? I mean, that's why.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, he was, I'm sure. There were reports by someone saying there was really no interest, but I'm sure he was waiting for someone to give me a 3 year deal or something.
Yeah. It's really interesting that all of this happens at the same time as, you know, everything's happening with BLM and reflection on Colin Kaepernick. And obviously, like, the skill set is somewhat similar.
Yeah.
It's not completely the same. And, you know, part of Cam Newton's appeal is that even though he is a good runner, he's not as much of a speed runner as he is a power runner.
Mm-hmm.
And just his ability to brush guys off of him as they try and tackle him is what's most impressive to me. But I just think that, like, what a weird situation for the rest of the NFL to be in, where the most teams have a young quarterback of the future or a quarterback that's been with them for a long time who they've really put all their cards on. So it's just, situationally, it was really weird too, and it was not in Cam's favor.
Yeah.
But I think he's walked into a position outside of the financial side of it where he couldn't be any happier. Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
And he's ready to play, like you said, Nick. He's ready to get after it. And I mean, just a guy walking into your locker room that has that kind of ferocity and just leadership is great for a team.
Yeah.
When it's great for a team. It's great for Stidham, too.
Yeah. Well, when you hit the nail on the head, if this was next offseason or even two offseasons, Cam could have had five or six teams lining up the door, but you have – and you could debate whether he's better than these young quarterbacks, you know, a Drew Lock in Denver, unproven Tua in Miami, unproven Herbert in L.A., all these different young guys. But when you put your chips on the table for these guys, you're not going to go sign a veteran that's going to overshadow them, maybe stunt their growth, maybe take away some of their moxie and what they have going for them. And so this was the one year you had what? You had Jacksonville, Chicago, and New England were really the only teams that were really had big question marks at quarterback. And I don't know why Chicago and Jacksonville didn't pursue him, but anyway, New England got
Chicago definitely for me. Like, I didn't understand why they didn't. I mean, I think for Jacksonville, they want to at least put, you know, invest in Minshew a little bit. You know, he had some flashes of greatness last season, and you know, you mentioned, you know, you don't want to take away from that moxie and, you know, that ego that, you know, that you need to build as a quarterback. But Chicago, that's a dumpster fire right now.
Their
offense. I mean, their defense amazing, but like, you can't have a Rex Grossman, you know, going into the Super Bowl. You already know how that played out for them.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
He was better than what Trubisky's been. So.
Exactly. But to your point, I mean, I think you're right. A 1-year deal for the Chargers would have been awesome, you know, especially in a brand new stadium where they're kind of trying to fight for fans still here in LA. You know, they've got Hard Knocks coming up. He'd be a great personality for them. And you know, but you know, we don't have that now. So. I'm content with what's going to go on in the league. I'm excited to see Cam set this league on fire. I hope he does, honestly. I'm not a Patriots fan, but
I'm glad Josh isn't here, because I'm sure Josh would just be gloating left and right. I don't know if he likes him or not. God. But
he could not contain his excitement when this news broke.
Yeah.
Well, in reflection, now that they have signed him, like looking back at the offseason for the Patriots and looking at who Bill Belichick is and how much he cares about legacy and how much of a perfectionist he is and how much he cares about competing. Just not bringing someone else in to kind of light that fire under Stidham, even if he is going to end up being a starter or start some of the games of the season, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It didn't make much sense, right? Yeah. That like they were going to do that. Tanking in the NFL is not a good idea.
No.
It, like planning to tank does not work like it works in the NBA. Where these blue chip prospects in the NBA are like an automatic translation into, for the most part, right? Like if you draft Ben Simmons, you know that he's going to turn into the player that's going to be a starter and you can potentially put like a massive contract behind and he can lead your team.
Yeah.
But who's to say that Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence are going to be any better than Jared Stidham? I mean, I think they will be, but to waste an entire year with a team that has this much legacy and on a coach who's older too, like there's no way he was going to do that.
Yeah.
It's not who Belichick is.
And it's another situation where they have a win now roster as well. I mean, they had the top defense in the league last year.
Right.
You can't let that go to waste.
Yeah.
And I hate to see when teams do that. And like, obviously it's happening with the Bears and like, it could have happened with the Patriots this season. And like, could happen with the Chargers. I don't know. Like, we'll see what happens. We'll see who's at the helm for quarterback and, you know, who can perform and if they can get it clicking. I mean, I'd like to stay on that this same topic actually with the Chargers. So Tyrod Taylor is the presumed starter. How long do you think we give him to start?
You know, this is my opinion and some of the people I've talked to. I think as long as he's healthy and playing serviceable, it's his season. I think as long as, I mean, unless the Chargers are at one point, you know, 1-4 or something. But if he's serviceable, the team is playing well, and he's healthy. But the big thing is his health, because remember, even 2 years ago in Cleveland when the Browns drafted Baker Mayfield, Hugh Jackson was adamant, Baker's not playing, it's going to be Tyrod. And then whether it was smokescreen injury or not, he did get injured. I believe it was a hamstring or something. And then Baker obviously took over and the rest is history. So who knows if he can fully stay healthy the entire season. He's, I wouldn't call him a running quarterback, but a mobile guy, but not as big as some of the mobile quarterbacks we see in today's NFL. So, but if he's healthy, the team's playing relatively well, I think it's his season, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, he's a guy who's like never really turned the ball over that much. You know, he's always been pretty smart with the ball and with his offense. I mean, he's made a Pro Bowl, you know, he's been to the playoffs. I mean, he's got experience. Like, there's definitely worse guys out there to take over the team. And I think that he's a good guy to learn from. You know, he's motivated. I would say he's probably the second most motivated guy, you know, a quarterback in the league behind Cam, because he's got a lot to prove. You know, people have been kind of saying like, oh, he's not a legit starter. You know, they drafted a quarterback, you know, Justin Herbert is going to replace him midseason. And you know, these are things that kind of get to you, that kind of light your fire a little bit. But yeah, you mentioned that, you know, he's not really like a running quarterback, but he's a mobile quarterback. And the guy that I kind of compare him to a little bit is Alex Smith. And, you know, Alex Smith, you know, played some good years for the 49ers and played some good, he played a couple good years for the Chiefs as well, you know, and, mm-hmm. and if it wasn't for Mahomes at the doorstep, then, you know, Alex Smith could have been, you know, the guy going to Super Bowl with that team. Probably not, but, you know, you never know. But, you know, I think if, like you mentioned, if Tyrod stays healthy and, you know, he just doesn't turn the ball over, I see him starting every single game.
Yeah. Yeah. He even reminds me of a guy like Case Keenum, who if you play in the right, play in the right system, you know, he's a check down machine. He's not going to turn the ball over. He's not going to push the ball down the field. But in Anthony Lynn and Shane Steichen's system, obviously that was his system in Buffalo when they went to the playoffs, which I know everyone has probably overstated how many times we've compared it to that. But they have the team built around that, and if they can do that and just give Justin Herbert enough time, because in this weird virtual offseason, you know, the hardest position to learn is quarterback, and if you can't be around your guys at the facility getting reps, I know we see, you know, we saw that picture just recently of him practicing on the field and stuff with the helmet on, but it's not true to form of what you can really do. So I think it's in his best interest to get as much time as possible, and it's in the team's best future to give him that time. But if they're 1-4, like you said, this is a team ready to win now. If they're 1-4, 1-3 even, you may see a quarterback change pretty quick.
So the age-old question of the meddling quarterback, the 15-20 quarterback, maybe 20-plus, can Tyrod Taylor take them to the Super Bowl if they get into the playoffs? Does he have it within him? Like, I mean, Keenum, most people at the beginning of the season would probably have said no, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he didn't. So I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, look, I wouldn't say Joe Flacco is that much better than Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
And Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl, you know?
So I think feel like I have to ask the question. I'm of the opinion that if everything falls into place, mm-hmm. anything can really happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Of course. I mean, they're NFL quarterbacks, you know what I mean? They're the 32 best quarterbacks in the world, you know what I mean? Arguably. But, like, it's one of those things where, I mean, you're just saying is, like, if the right pieces fall into place, you know, the right magic is happening, you know, the team chemistry is there, you know, there's no injuries. I mean, Chargers have always had injury issues. And if this is a season where, like, you know, everyone stays healthy and everything goes well, I mean, if Hunter Henry stays on the field and if Keenan Allen stays on the field and, you know, if their defense stays healthy, if Bosa can stay on the field, like, I don't see why not, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree. I think if there's a quarterback to do it, it is Taylor and it is this year. When you look at history, unfortunately, I feel like when we see these, as you mentioned, Alex, the meddling quarterbacks that make it, it seems they're not the ones that start the season. They come in based on injury. You know, Nick Foles comes in after Carson Wentz is having an MVP caliber season. He kind of rides that wave. He puts a team on his back, gets the momentum, goes on, and ends up winning a Super Bowl MVP. You know, you have other guys. What, Jeff Hostetler did it with, like, the Giants. You have guys, all these guys that weren't really necessarily the starter.
Even Osweiler coming in for the Broncos, right?
Yeah. So
he didn't start in the Super Bowl, but he did in multiple playoff games.
Yeah, exactly. So there's something historical that when they start the season, it doesn't seem to pan out as well as when they just come in after the team's already being successful. So that'll be something
It's a long season, you know. You got to have the stamina to play 18 games.
Yeah.
When I think
they're undefeated.
Yeah.
When I think about that question, it makes me think, like, you got to look across the division, right? Mm-hmm. And it matters a lot more what Pat Mahomes does than what Tyrod Taylor does.
Yeah.
And if Mahomes is healthy, right, then it's like that brings in a whole different, like, because do I think anyone lining up across from Mahomes in a game can win? Not really.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go in thinking that he's going to lose. I go in thinking he's going to win every single time.
Totally. Well, yeah. And Nick, I'm sure you feel this. I feel like, in my opinion, and I'm not saying just because I cover the team, I think the Chargers had a top three offseason from free agency to the draft. I think they had a tremendous offseason. But unfortunately for them, the Chiefs lost literally nobody. They're returning their entire Super Bowl roster. The Broncos had a phenomenal offseason. Well, I'd put them in a top five offseason. And the Raiders are still the Raiders, but I think they did improve in areas they needed to. So it sucks that the year the Chargers did so many good things, the rest of the division got better too. So then you have that to deal with, and who knows who comes out on top, especially when the quarterback has a question.
I would say this might be probably the most interesting division in football this next year, mm-hmm. maybe with the exception of the NFC West, just because that's kind of wide open right now with Arizona surging, you know, with Seattle always being Seattle, with the Rams taking a step back. You know, I think that that's a very interesting division. But yeah, you're right. I think that the AFC West, you know, I wouldn't say it's wide open because I still think that the Chiefs are the Super Bowl favorite here. But I mean, with the extra wild card spot opening up, you know, we mentioned, we talked on the AFC West preview, Ryan, that, you know, we think the Broncos, I agreed with you that the Broncos could sneak into that wild card spot.
Yeah. No, totally.
I do think the Raiders are a step behind all the other teams, but that's to be expected. You know, I don't think Derek Carr or Marcus Mariota are the answer there. But, you know, upgrading.
Yeah, but like a competitive step behind, though.
Yeah, right, right. No, they're going to play some good games.
They're still going to steal some games in the division. Yeah.
For sure. They're not going to go 0-6 in that division.
No, definitely not. Not going to happen. And hopefully the games they steal are against the Chiefs. I think that's what we both hope.
Oh, I would love that.
They can steal two against the Chiefs. Great. Love it.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, if there's anyone who can game plan against the quarterback, it's John Gruden.
Yeah. I agree. So, and they did improve in some areas on the defense, but that's still their biggest Achilles heel probably is the defense. So,
but yeah, no, I have hope for the Chargers this year. It seems like you do too. Toss, I think you're on board with us as well.
Sure.
Which one of the rookie quarterbacks?
Sure.
Which one of the rookie quarterbacks do you think is going to have the best rookie season?
I mean, best rookie season, got to go Joe Burrow just because he's the one starting out of the gate. Yeah.
I think Tua has a good chance of starting right out of the gate as well.
Yeah, he could. I mean, all indications are it's still going to be Fitzpatrick, but I mean, that can change very, very quickly. Yeah. It's just, it all depends on if we have a training camp, which it seems like all indications are we are going to have a training camp. Right. Fingers crossed. And yeah, I agree with you. I think Tua, if he shows he's healthy, and I think he can certainly take over. But that being said, I still think it's right now Joe Burrow. I do like the weapons they have in Cincinnati. I don't think Cincinnati is necessarily going to be a better team than Miami overall. Miami's done a lot of good things. They had a good offseason as well. Signed a lot of big name free agents, beefed up that defense a little bit. But yeah, I think I'd go with Joe Burrow. I like Justin Herbert long term, honestly. But yeah, just like we said, I don't think he's going to start for a while. So,
out of the three, you like Justin Herbert long term?
Oh man,
it's tough to evaluate. I know it is.
It's hard too because, and I mean this respectfully, but all three of those organizations are not historically great organizations. When you look at Cincinnati, right. Miami, and you know, yeah. San Diego / LA, they're not.
It doesn't look like any of them have the clear leg up from an organizational.
Yeah, standpoint. It's not like, you know, I'm not sounding like a homer here, not trying to, but it's not like the Broncos who have had, you know, these 4 years of very poor
quarterbacks. Yeah, the Steelers,
but they have a history. Cowboys. Yeah, they have a history of, you know, great quarterback play and getting back on track. So it's hard to put that, but I like what the Chargers have done from an organization perspective the last kind of few years. Whereas the Bengals are still the Bengals. I mean, yes, they had a good draft, but they haven't shown anything good in the past, even last season. And then Miami's starting to turn things around, so it'll be good to see. But I think the Chargers have done more. I know they had a down year last year, but with the Anthony Lynn regime, with what Tom Telesco's doing, I think they just have a brighter future, and I think they'll surround Herbert with the necessary tools to have a long longevity in his career.
Yeah, no, I agree. It seems like the Chargers are kind of taking that, like, you know, young man's route. I mean, it's always a young man's game, but, like, you know, going with the fresher legs, like, you know, sticking with Austin Eckler over Melvin Gordon, you know, rewarding him and, you know, drafting the rookie quarterback and kind of establishing a new identity coming to LA, you know, going to that new stadium and giving Anthony Lynn that another opportunity, because I thought Anthony Lynn was going to lose his job last year. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if he doesn't succeed this year, then I think it's going to be very clear that he loses his job. But
yeah,
I mean, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think that it's one of those things where, they're on the up in terms of an organization, but not historically, you know, somewhere where quarterbacks usually want to land. You know,
yeah.
I mean, if you're a quarterback, you know, you want to go to the Patriots, you want to go to Pittsburgh, you want to go to San Francisco, you know,
yeah.
Historically good organizations that have strong fan bases, but also, you know, have won Super Bowls, you know, big cities, big markets. So,
yeah. And not to bore you guys with like quarterback analytics and boring stuff like that, but I was talking to Max Brown, former USC quarterback, about this on my show, about these three quarterbacks specifically, and we don't need to go into draft jargon and all who was better, because I think all three quarterbacks are very, very good. But you look at Joe Burrow, who had one unbelievable year, but he had, if you look at his, and again, I don't want to take anything away from him, so you look at that, but Joe Burrow's entire offensive line drafted in the NFL. Receiver won the Blitnikoff, other receiver drafted in the first round, Jefferson. Running back drafted in the first round of the Chiefs. All these pieces around him that, yes, he had to still throw the ball, make these plays, but he was on a national championship team with a national championship coach who is offensive coordinator, is now an NFL coach. All these pieces. You look at Tua, plays for an organization like Alabama, is top five, probably top two program every single year. Both of his receivers go top 15. running back, offensive lineman, all these pieces around him. You look at Justin Herbert, no receivers drafted, one offenseman, lineman drafted, I think, in the fifth round, literally zero offensive weapons, but he was a four-year starter, consistently threw for over 3,500 yards, had a really good touchdown-to-interception ratio. So you just look at that body of work. I know people were worried about his processing and all that, but I look at production, and he gave me production through college his entire career, where there were two guys where had a lot of good pieces around him and had a lot lower production rate in terms of number of years played. So I like Herbert just once he has that true level of talent around him. I think we'll really see him thrive.
We also forget there's Jordan Love as well. You know, he got drafted by the Packers. He actually just signed his deal with the Packers.
Fully guaranteed, yeah.
I mean, we'll see what happens there. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is obviously the guy for the next year, but, I mean, it does seem there's trouble in paradise.
Toss, do you think Rodgers goes somewhere else and finishes his career, or do you think he'll still ride it out there?
I have no idea. That guy's his behavior is so erratic. I mean,
here's what I see.
I want to like Aaron Rodgers. Like, I want to like him very badly. Mm-hmm. But I not that I dislike him, but I think he does. He obviously, like, he's very open about how he feels about stuff. And a lot of times it feels like he's handling it somewhat in kind of like a diva way. I think he'll probably end up staying.
Here's a hot take. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's all I have to say.
Okay. I thought you were close. That's a hot take, and I haven't said this voice at all. I just thought about this right now. But Jimmy Garoppolo has, 2 years left on his deal in San Francisco? Aaron Rodgers is from the Bay Area, played at Cal. Why not go finish your career with the Niners and Kyle Shanahan and ride off in the sunset from your hometown?
I could see that happening. I really could.
Yeah.
Obviously, honestly, no matter how old he is, that's an upgrade over Jimmy G, in my opinion.
Of course. To me, Aaron Rodgers is like the Kevin Durant of the NFL. He hasn't left his team yet. He's not really a traitor, but like, it's one of those guys where it's like, you obviously know that he is a force, right? He's one of the most talented players that we've ever seen play the game. You know, we respect the hell out of his career, but his actions, you know, the way he kind of not composes himself, but just like the way he is, there's just something about him that you just don't. You want to like him, but he's just not that likable, you know?
And he's
like,
just a heel. He's a heel. That's what he is. Like,
exactly.
Oh, absolutely. And
it's like KD. They're both heels, right?
Exactly.
It's a great comparison.
And obviously, if Rodgers were to go to San Francisco, then that makes that statement even more true, you know, going to the Bay Area to try to win a ship.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I can't blame either of those guys. I can't blame KD and I can't blame Aaron Rodgers. I mean, they're huge stars in this league, and like they have the right to be vocal, and they have the right to do whatever the hell they want, you know what I mean? I mean, they've earned it. So whatever's best for their career, like, by all means, go for it.
I just think that for him to leave Green Bay, there has to be some, like, they're not going to play Jordan Love over Aaron Rodgers at any point in Aaron Rodgers' career. I just don't feel like they're going to. I don't think you can, because that guy is so talented, and unless he takes a steep decline because of his age, you know, as he starts to get up there. And he's not young right now. He's like 35, right?
Yeah, I think 36 or something like that.
35, 36. That's the only thing. I mean, if something happens to him, like physically, then that would change things. But,
you know, it's funny.
I think when it first happened, I was like, Rodgers is so emotional and like so quick to make a decision and quick to make an enemy that he's just gonna give it 1 year and say, just fuck you and just leave. But like, I don't know. I feel like my mind's changing a little bit.
I mean, people got deja vu from when he was drafted in Brett Favre's organization, right?
Yeah.
They thought to themselves, like, there's no way that Aaron Rodgers plays a game over Brett Favre, you know? Yeah. Is Brett Favre going to end his career in Green Bay? And he didn't, you know? He went over to Minnesota and made the playoffs. And then went to the Jets for a quick stint as well. But, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, this could be the exact same situation where, you know, they know what they're doing as an organization to groom – you know, the next heir to the throne, let Rodgers finish his career somewhere else. If it's in San Francisco, that's not a bad call at all, Brian. You know,
yeah.
So be it. He's won a Super Bowl. Well, you know, he's got them the ring.
When you're a fan of a player, it sucks. And when you're the player, it sucks. But from an organization standpoint, I mean, the good ones do it. You look at, you know, San Francisco when they drafted Steve Young and let arguably the greatest quarterback of all time leave and Joe Montana go to the Chiefs for the end of his career. So it's good to have that backup plan. I think for me, and we're getting way off topic here, I'm sure, but for
same
me,
with the Colts.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning.
Yeah, exactly. The Colts did that. And, you know, the Patriots, I think, technically did that when they took Jimmy Garoppolo, but ownership went against Bill Belichick's wishes. And yeah, that's a whole different discussion. And
well, I mean, ownership was right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, they were. But I think the biggest slap in the face for Rodgers to me wasn't necessarily even taking Love. It was not drafting a single wide receiver in the entire draft. That was a strange one to me.
That's true. Yeah, that's very
and
true.
And drafting another running back where they have like six on the roster now. But
yeah, and they in a draft where they can afford to take Jordan Love that early and still get good weapons.
Yeah.
But they just didn't deliver.
Didn't do it. Zero.
Yeah.
I mean, KJ Hill went in the seventh round.
I would say they had one of the worst drafts.
Horrible.
In the draft.
Yeah, I agree.
Not because of Jordan Love, but because of the fact that they didn't execute, they didn't fill their team needs.
When you move up, to take a quarterback that's going to be your backup for potentially 3 to 4 years, you better back up that pick by solidifying some great talent later, and they shit the bed afterwards. So
yeah, you bring up KJ. I mean, I'm on board for him to be on the Chargers too. It just gets me more excited,
dude. Baller, yeah, such a steal.
I'm okay with the Packers being bad. My best friend growing up was a Packers fan.
There you go.
And I that instilled some animosity towards the Packers within me at a young age because we couldn't like the same team.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
He liked LeBron coming out of high school. I liked Carmelo Anthony.
Me too.
Coming out of Syracuse. Like, you know, you never want to pick the same team or player that your best friend does because you want to have some sort of friendly rivalry with it. Oh, so I've always not really liked the Packers. I'll continue to do that.
I know why you don't want the Packers to be good, because Dez caught the ball.
Yeah, that too.
I guess, yeah. Salt in the wound.
You mean you change a rule, he caught the ball, right? That's all I got to say about that.
Exactly.
Truth. Is Dez Bryant going to find a team that you guys think this year?
I don't think so. If he hasn't yet, it's been, 2 years now?
I mean, he got signed by the Saints last year, and then when he was working out for them, he tore his Achilles.
Yeah.
Yeah,
super unfortunate.
Super bummer.
It's just a freak injury, but...
so even with the injury, that'd be 2 years of not playing, correct?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
going.
But I mean, look, I think Dez. Let's see, he's
30. What is he, 32?
Oh, he's got.
Yeah, I mean, Dez is 31 years old. He'll be 32 in November. I mean, there's guys who play longer than that, and I mean,
Julio Jones is 30, so 31.
Yeah,
same age.
I mean, I think he's one of those guys where, like, if you like really desperately need, you know, a possession receiver, and you're like deep in your season, I can see him being an option.
Yeah. I mean, I thought he would have been an option the year prior to his injury. So I'm kind of surprised that he wasn't. I know he had visits with the Browns during Hard Knocks. So the fact that nothing came to fruition was kind of odd, but still talent. Him and Demaryius Thomas, you know, same draft class, and Demaryius Thomas is a free agent also. And he's a guy that could come in and be a possession guy. So who knows?
Now, what about Antonio Brown? Do we think he finds a home this season?
God, I don't know. He's so good still. It's just, what a head case. What a prima donna that guy is. You know, there was reports about the Buccaneers, and then there were reports later said Tampa's not interested at all. So, if anywhere, I think Baltimore makes the most sense, just the fact that his cousin plays there, and they're a fun, unique, dynamic, entertaining, woke team.
And he has that opportunity to play against his old team twice a year.
Totally. Which, you know, he would be the one player, too, that would come out and say, yeah, I signed with him so I could play the Steelers. Everyone else is like, no, it didn't go into my decision. All political correct. He would be like, yeah, I want to play the Steelers twice, so I'm signing with him.
Of course. I mean, look, I'm all for guys getting a second chance and, you know, turning the page and trying to get back on track. But I think with, like, the way that history has shown the owners being, I just don't see him getting signed anywhere just because of his actions. You know, what he said, the music videos that he's made, you know, his social media outbursts, his
allegations.
He's just way too much of a liability for an organizational standpoint, you know?
Yeah.
And it's honestly, history has proven that owners just don't want to deal with that. I mean, you look at Colin Kaepernick, who, you know, in most eyes is, you know, is a patriot, is a role model, you know, is someone that, you know, people, you know, stand behind. And like, people don't stand behind Antonio Brown.
No.
You know what I mean? And Colin Kaepernick can't find a job. I mean, it's not to say that Colin Kaepernick is good enough to play in the league. I'm of the opinion that I don't think he's good enough to play anymore. Mm-hmm. That's why he hasn't found a team. But you never know.
Yeah. You don't think he's good enough to be a backup on a team?
I don't know.
Why,
dude? He hasn't played in like 4 years?
Yeah. I don't know, man. You were talking about the Steelers. Like, did you watch any of their quarterbacks play last year? They're terrible.
So here's my thing, and I hear you, Nick, and I agree. I don't think he's good enough to be a starter. I think he's definitely good enough to be a backup, 100%.
So do I.
But
so do I.
This is kind of the, and this is not, I'm not trying to make this comparison based on skill level, but this is similar to the Tim Tebow effect. Do you want a backup quarterback that is going to just be a media circus, and the questions every practice, every game are going to involve your backup or third string quarterback?
Oh, that's a great point.
It's not worth the headache. Like, yes, it looks bad, you know, systematically charge why he's not being signed. But when you're running a business and your guy that's not even the face of your franchise, he's just a guy holding a clipboard, you don't want the center of attention to be on that. So what's that worth?
That's why I thought the whole, like, the reports that the Chargers were interested was kind of, you know, blasphemous. Because, like, look, they've got Easton Stick, they've got Tyrod Taylor, and they got Justin Herbert. Why would you add Kaepernick and the fourth guy in that mix when, like, you kind of have to figure out your own stuff going on right now with Tyrod and Justin Herbert? You know, I mean, obviously Easton is going to be the third guy, but, like, I mean, Kaepernick isn't going to do anything for the development of Justin Herbert. You know, it's just going to add to that media attention that you were just talking about. You don't want, you know, the third guy in the mix to take the spotlight away and just kind of create that buzz inside the locker room that's unneeded.
Oh, yeah. Like, if he was there in Hard Knocks with the Chargers and Kaepernick was there, around his locker, around his interview tent, it would be packed with him and no one would care about what the actual Chargers are doing on the field. And, you know, maybe they want that in the LA market, but if you're Anthony Lynn, who is pretty, I know he's been very vocal about everything going on, and hats off to him, as he should be, and it's, I think it's great what he's doing with the organization, great what he's doing in LA, but I think he's still a very quiet, football-minded, put wins on the board and not have the focus on other things. So I don't know if he'd want
If that. I had to guess, I think the Spanos family was probably like, hey, let's give Kaepernick a look so we can get more fans. I seriously do, because they don't, I mean, at this point, like, they got to do all they can to grab fans.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
You know, and fanning, it's a publicity stunt where it's like, all right, let's see what Kaepernick can do.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, and he did, and you know this too, Anthony Lynn just said, we'll put him on the workout list. That's not saying we're, like, interested in signing him. It'd be dumb not, he basically said, it'd be silly of us not to give him a workout.
Exactly.
Which is true.
Exactly.
That doesn't mean, like.
Yeah.
So to
I don't know. I mean, it's not the same parallel, obviously, but this player gets compared to a lot more of the same stuff that Antonio Brown gets compared to, not to the same degree. Mm-hmm. But Jameis Winston gets signed by the Saints, and Jameis Winston is a quarterback that's talked about in the media all the time, not in the same way, obviously, mm-hmm. as Colin Kaepernick. And there's not as much recency bias, especially with what's going on right now, just towards what Colin Kaepernick was standing up for, and rightly so. But no one's really talking about him being the backup in New Orleans right now. I mean, he's just kind of there.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's a situational thing for sure. But, like, we're talking about Gardner Minshew, and, like, could Colin Kaepernick be a better quarterback for them? Maybe. Maybe he could.
Yeah. Yeah, he certainly could.
Do the Jags need as much media attention as that they can get? Absolutely. So.
No, that's true. Yeah.
It's not a bad idea, honestly. It's not a bad landing spot for him. I think, was he on their workout list as well? I think I saw that. They'd consider it.
Yeah, I think I saw that. So, yeah.
I would say the Chargers and the Jags are very similar organizations in terms of how they're run, but from an ownership standpoint. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, that wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, to reiterate, though, I think Kaepernick, Dez Bryant, and Antonio Brown all don't find homes by the start of the season.
I agree with that.
It's probably safe to say.
Yeah.
There are a couple of other guys. I mean, there's a good amount of free agents that are still out there. I mean, at the top of the list, Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
Is he going to find a home by the start of the season? I mean, I hope so, right?
Well, for him, it's about money. He's just asking for astronomical amount of money. I mean, he'll be on a team when he's willing to come back down to earth and take what a guy that gets 5 sacks last year is worth. So he's on 20 million.
It's going to be a little bit like to cross-sport it here, like the Boogie Cousins going to the Warriors kind of thing, where no one wanted to pay DeMarcus Cousins $28 million because they didn't think he was worth it. And Jadeveon Clowney is not a head case. Like, DeMarcus Cousins was labeled, which I don't actually think he was, but it's going to, you're right, it's going to take a steep drop off for him to sign somewhere, because no one's going to want to give out a shekel more than what they think he's worth.
Yeah, because I think the Browns offered him, like, close to 15, and he turned it down. So he'll probably end up signing there, and then that'll be great having Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. But
it'll be unreal.
Yeah,
unreal.
I mean, I think he stays with Seattle. I think he comes, like you said, comes down to earth. Browns are a good alternate as well. But I mean, Seattle kind of knows what they're getting there, and he's familiar with the organization. And you know, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, let's do a 1-year deal. Let's see how we like it. You know, if you want to come back, we'll extend you. If not, you know, who knows?
Yeah. The biggest free agent for me, and we talk Chargers and Kaepernick, and we talk Cam, but the biggest, Jason Peters, left tackle. I know he's 38, 39 years old. Why are the Chargers not signing Jason Peters? You have a Pro Bowl caliber left tackle, even if it's a 1-year deal. That's the guy I'm bringing in.
Yeah, I mean, they've kind of revamped that offensive line, and I think that, you know, they should do it as well, because, I mean, they got Bulaga, and then they got
Trey Turner,
you know, and they got Pouncey playing center. So, I mean,
the right side set, that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just add Peters to the left side. Like, that could be one of the better lines in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. And they voiced very strongly that they believe in Trey Pipkins, who they took in the third round last year out of South Dakota. But why not give him a year under – they said when they drafted him, he was a developmental pick who they believed in. Why not let him sit behind a future Hall of Famer in Jason Peters and give another year off? So that's the guy I'm like.
Yeah, no, I agree. I definitely agree. I mean – it's funny that we always come full circle back to the Chargers.
I know you're a Chargers guy, so it's easy.
No, but, it's fun. It's fun for sure.
Ryan, what do you think? What do you think the league is going to look like this year if we do have a season? Are there going to be any changes as far as scheduling, length of season, anything like that?
Oh man, well, I know there's been talks that they have started discussing if the season was delayed, how they can reshuffle schedules, if they'd push even the Super Bowl back. I know right now, obviously, it's always slated at the beginning of February, if they could push that back. So I know that's been in discussion. Obviously, as of right now, and I'm sure you guys know this and probably have talked about it, but right now everything's all systems go, you know, as advertised, training camp starting in July, Hard Knocks at the Rams and Chargers will be right here in LA at the team's respective headquarters. But I think they have to have a contingency plan. And as far as stadiums are concerned, I've talked with a bunch of different people, and it's at this point, it looked a lot better 2 weeks ago than it does right now with all these cases coming back up. But even still, I think at this point, it's going to be a state-to-state case. So we could see games in Dallas with a half-full stadium and then games in L.A. with no fans. It's just going to be very odd how it's based on state perspective.
I think the glimmer of hope is obviously – MLB returning, NBA returning, you know, if those leagues play, then the NFL is going to play. And Scott Kaplan was one of our guests last month, you know, of San Diego Sports. And he said it perfectly. Nothing stops the NFL. They're going to do what they can to get this going.
And they have a blueprint with these other
leagues. Well, they just have so much money involved in the television networks. It's massive, right? I mean, this is such it's a big part of economy, honestly. What do you guys think? The one thing about the NFL, and this is just my opinion, but I think they have a lot less room to expand the scheduling like the NBA and a lot less flexibility that the NBA and the MLB have, where the NBA is going to do what they're going to do. And they're going to figure this thing out in Orlando, have the bubble, figure out the playoffs. Someone I think, and people could be removed because if they have coronavirus or they might not end up going, whatever it is, and people can put an asterisk by it. They're going to get the season done, and then they're going to work their way into the next season. I feel like the NFL has less wiggle room as far as like, can we really push it back that much further? Can we really do that? Like, can we push the Super Bowl back to May? Like, is that even possible? Is that enough time for, it's such a taxing sport physically on these guys too, that is that enough time to recoup and then next year have the normal season that we're accustomed to? I don't think so. Yeah. I feel like it's kind of like they just have to figure out a way to do it in the timeline that they normally have the NFL season and go from there.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And if they did somehow push it back, you'd see stuff like the draft happening mid-season because they couldn't just push their whole schedule back. They'd have to kind of go. So the draft maybe stays in April. It's not as big an event, and you're having the draft, you're having games the same week just to get things done. But no, I agree with you. Just because of how physical it is, I don't know how you could push it back. Who knows if
they did? They did just come out today saying that they're cutting 2 preseason games.
Yeah.
So week 1 and week 4 of the preseason are axed.
Yeah. Which I think is good anyway, regardless of pandemic.
Yeah, I mean,
not.
They've always been floating the idea of doing less preseason games anyway, and I mean, it sucks for guys who are trying to make the rosters, but I mean, This is just a unique situation, obviously, that no one was prepared for. I mean, it's affecting everyone, obviously. I mean, it affects all the kids who are graduating, or kids who, you know, are trying to go to the pros, people who are trying to make teams, kids who are, you know, in high school trying to get recruited. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel bad for those kids, you know. I mean, kids who are juniors heading into their senior year who might not play senior year, and they were hoping to get offers coming out of senior year. So
yeah, well, yeah, my cousin was a baseball player at Orange Lutheran, and his senior baseball season didn't even get a play, or they played like four games, and then it was canceled. So
it's terrible.
And he's like off to college now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there's got to be, I don't know how it's going to be logistically even done, but like they need to figure out a way to like get these kids like in a league, or like in a prep league or something, where they can showcase their talents as much as possible to get recruited or like get offers from programs, because so many kids were robbed, you know, of scholarships and you know, a lot of kids rely on that to get their educations.
Yeah, we could see it. In football, an influx in students going to JUCOs, and really that becoming a lot more popular. I mean, it already is popular, right? I mean, look at someone else on the network, right? Jason Brown, Last Chance U. I mean, that provides a huge opportunity for a lot of guys. Exactly.
Cam Newton went to
Blinn. Yeah. Yep. Right outside of College Station. So I think, I wouldn't be surprised if really talented guys have been overlooked, end up going to junior colleges, segueing into college football, into big schools, and then hopefully getting to the NFL. I hope that's what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you have some really good JUCO programs too, and you even have some people saying, do they just take a year off and just not even do school and just train on their own, and then, you know, be a year ahead and play 1 year of college ball, and then they're eligible. So
yeah, I would be cool if the NCAA came out and said that like all of them were able to reclassify, kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Like a redshirt year almost.
They seem to be slow to the jump on a lot of stuff though. So
yeah, they're bad at what they do anyway, but then this is just even a trickier situation with everything they got going on. So it'll be
What are you thinking about just kind of how like logistically Hard Knocks is gonna work with these two teams in LA? What are we gonna miss because of everything that's going on? And what are you looking forward to?
So, I mean, this is my opinion. I don't think we're going to miss it. As long as it goes on, I don't think us as viewers and fans are really going to miss out on anything. I think it's going to be – the only thing we're missing out on is the joint practice perspective, because obviously, you know, last year I went to Rams-Chargers joint practice, where you have that tenacity of it feeling like a real game, where now they're keeping teams at their own facilities. But, I mean, you're still going to have – you know, the Rams did their training camp previously at Irvine, where they live on campus. They're not leaving anyway. They're always there to stay. So now it'll just be at their own facility. But I think it'll be very cool having both teams, because you'll see just how differently each team and each coaching staff runs these practices. Generally in years, the Chargers always did 10 a.m. practices and the Rams did 2 p.m. practices down in Irvine. So I would be in Costa Mesa for the Chargers from 10 to noon. Then I drive down to Irvine, and just the difference of ways that Anthony Lynn ran his practices versus Sean McVay was fascinating to watch. I think getting that inside look, having the microphones, having these players mic'd up, I think the fans are going to love seeing it. And so I think as long as it happens, this really won't affect the viewership, and I don't think it won't really rob much. You might not have some of the off-camera stuff of people at home, but I think we can do without some of that
stuff. You won't have that sick play that Keenan Allen made in practice that I watched today, that route that he ran. And he's so good.
Yeah.
God, that guy is so good at getting open.
Yeah.
You're so talking good. About the end zone route, right? Where he cuts out and he goes around the top, or no?
He goes in and then peels it out and up I don't remember what, but it was definitely in a practice, and it was between the Rams and the Chargers.
He's one of the best route runners in the NFL.
And did you see the one where he like Undertaker, I can't remember if it was Troy Hill or Nicole Roby Coleman, just like picked him up and freaking death slammed him down, and it started a huge brawl in practice.
He's so good.
Yeah, it was fun stuff.
I love him. I love him.
Is he top three receiver?
No, he's not. I mean, because you got to put Hopkins in there, you got to put Julio Jones in there,
and Michael Thomas.
Like, those guys are the top three locked in. I think.
Would you put him four?
I think four goes to Mike Evans.
Yeah, it's close.
I think five is Devonta Adams.
I think if you're talking purely on the skill of finding open spaces on the field and extending plays, Keenan Allen jumps up ahead of other guys list for me.
Yeah. Well, it comes down when you really watch receivers and what you're wanting. If you need a true red zone threat, Mike Evans to me might be number one. But if you want a true possession receiver, move the sticks. Who's the guy on 3rd and 11 that's going to give me a first down? Keelan Allen to me is top three in that regard. You have DeAndre Hopkins and Mike Thomas. I'd have those three. Mike Evans, I don't think gives you that skill set necessarily.
No, but he gives you deep balls plus deep, 40 yards, beating every DB in the air and then taking it to
the
house.
And that's what the Chargers have wanted to happen with Mike Williams. Again, we get back to the Chargers talk, Nick, but that's what they want Mike Williams to be, is a form of Mike Evans, and he just hasn't quite blossomed to that. But we'll see. Yeah. We'll see in Hard Knocks if he's able.
We've seen flashes. We've seen flashes.
Oh yeah. Totally. I mean, he's clearly that Chiefs game. He like had some insane catches.
Yeah.
You know,
so talented. The game going.
It's just the consistency. So.
Staying healthy.
Yeah. But
injuries. It always comes down to injuries for these guys. You know, I mean, you actually just wrote something about the Chargers, Hunter Henry, you know, him being able to stay on the field, and, you know, an interesting swap for him would be Dallas Goedert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's an interesting take, you know, just a one for one swap where, you know, they were drafted at a similar position. In the draft, second round, they're the same size, both 6'5", you know, around the same weight, 250. You know, both good with the hands, can run multiple routes, but one is consistently on the field and one is consistently off the field.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Hunter Henry is regarded as a top 10, you know, tight end in the league.
Easily.
And Goedert, you know, plays in an organization where, you know, he's a second option.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It was fun to kind of look at, but I'm a Hunter Henry guy. I love Hunter Henry. I think he's so good. I mean, he's just a beast, but unfortunately, he hasn't played one full season yet in his entire NFL career, and so you got to have – can't have the talent if you're not on the field. So it's kind of just fun to look at, and, you know, Goedert,
Goddard,
they're so similar.
He's productive too on limited snaps. So
yeah, they had literally the almost identical stat line last year, and, you know, he's backup to Zach Ertz. So
right.
And granted – Hunter Henry missed four games, so obviously that's the whole discussion. But
I mean, I don't think Goddard's going anywhere. But I think if he did, he would immediately jump in as that tight end one for a team and be really effective.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I think if he was a full time starter, he'd be a top seven tight end in the league.
Yeah, I think he could do that for sure.
Such an arbitrary number, 7.
Just 7, top 7.
I just like top 10 doesn't feel like enough, and I don't. But I'm not going to call him top 5 because there's. Okay.
Yeah, because top 5, you have Kelsey, Kittle, Ertz. Who do you put else in there? Austin Hooper, or do you put Darren Waller?
Yeah.
Hooper, you put Hunter Henry.
I like Waller. I like Waller a lot.
I like Waller a lot,
just
but
a reception machine. Yeah. It's just
I like Waller a lot. It's always the conversation though. Is like 1 year production enough? But he looks super talented. Yeah. So.
Well, I think as long as Derek Carr's there and they have somewhat of the similar weapons, then Waller's just going to get fed every single year. Like.
Yeah. Totally. So.
Yeah, he was my guy in fantasy football for all three of my teams last year. So. Oh,
well, you picked the right guy.
Yeah, you probably got him like the 12th round too. So.
Well, see, I watched Hard Knocks and I was like, this guy is sick.
Yeah, this guy, that story is great. So something's
I mean, you love to see it.
And that's what we'll see in Hard Knocks this year is his stories. So.
I know we've been running circles, you know, into running into the Chargers and running back into Cam Newton, but have you guys noticed? So there's the full circle of quarterbacks, right? So Brady goes to Tampa, Jameis goes to the Saints. Teddy goes to Carolina, Cam goes to New England. It's a full circle. All the quarterbacks just shift over.
Right, I mean, except for Drew Brees.
Drew Brees stays put, obviously. That's not going to change. But, I mean, it's an interesting situation. You know, the NFC South got, you know, shaken up a little bit in a good way. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah. You know? No, it's fascinating. It's always – it's funny when you see these teams move on from their quarterback, and you see with coaches too, move on from their coach, and then the other team, another team snatches up, and it's like they're reborn, and they're all of a sudden Super Bowl favorites, and they're the top contender, and it's like, well, they just kind of regurgitated someone else's player, and they just think they're going to get better results with it, but every team thinks they can.
Let me get your predictions real quick. Who's going to win more games, Cam or Brady?
Do you want to start, Tass, or do you want me to?
No. These are just for you, Ryan.
we'll give our predictions, but Ryan.
What Tampa has done this offseason, I think they've done some really good things. I like that they retained Shaq Barrett, who is an underrated pass rusher, obviously led the league last year. The weapons they have, you know, Bruce Arians is just a fun, cool, awesome coach. Obviously getting Brady was the big get. But the hype surrounding them to me feels like the 2018 Browns. They have so much hype, and yet they've haven't proven anything yet. You can discuss the whole argument of they still won 7 games last year with Jameis Winston throwing 30 picks, so they've got to improve on that. I just think they play in a tough division. I think Brady, from what I saw last year, is not the same quarterback. You know, he's still a starting quarterback, but I don't think he's the Tom Brady of the GOAT status. So I think they don't have that similar production. Bill Belichick, still Belichick. They upgraded with Cam Newton. They didn't lose anyone on defense, really, other than Kyle Van Noy. They got, you know, some good talent at receiver. They got good talent at running back. So they still play in a weak division, man. The Jets and the Dolphins are still booty. So I got to go with the Patriots. The Bills are good. But the Jets and Dolphins, you play that's 4 games. Tampa's got to play improved Carolina. They play the Saints, who are Super Bowl favorite, and they play the Falcons, who every year people predict playoffs, and you really just don't know what you're going to get, but they still have an MVP caliber quarterback in Matt Ryan. So, long-winded answer, I'll go with Cam, the Patriots, I guess.
The Patriots won 12 games last year. The Bucs won 7 games last year. The over-under for wins for the Bucs is 9.5, and the over-under for wins for the Patriots is 9 right now. With that said, I'm going to go with the Patriots as well. I mean, I think the one point that you bring up that is just, I mean, you can't argue that, is the division's tough.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you're going to play against Drew Brees twice. You know, you're going to play against a good Carolina team twice. And you're going to play against the Falcons twice. The Falcons are going to be back. You know, they're going to be good. And that's going to be a very entertaining division as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, besides the Bills, I think the Patriots go 4-0 against the Jets and the Dolphins.
Yeah. Yeah, and you got the Falcons, the Atlanta Rams down there with Todd Gurley and Dante Fowler, so they're going to be improved teams.
So I think the Patriots can get 10 wins. I think they can get 11 wins. And I think the Bucs can get 10 or 9.
Yeah, they'll both be improved. But
yeah, I mean, I think the Bucs are going to end up with more wins. But I think it's a different situation than the Browns in 2018. Their quarterback's the greatest quarterback of all time. Whether he's performing at that level is almost of no consequence to me, because in the locker room, I know for a fact that he's 10 times better of a leader than Baker Mayfield is. And as long as he gets the protection, which they address their needs in the draft, and also adding on an additional who knows what he's going to be, but my guess and my gut says that Rob Gronkowski is at least going to be somewhat serviceable. The guy is an absurd athlete, probably the best we've ever seen at the tight end position. And so I think his ability to beef back up before the season and be impactful on their roster with the best wide receiver tandem. I just think that the Falcons have improved. Yes, the Panthers have improved, but not enough to me. And I think that those will be easy division wins, just like the Jets and the Dolphins will be for the Patriots, which I also think that the Dolphins won't be as easy as a win as people think they will. I think the Dolphins have improved a lot. I think Flores now has guys there that fit his system, what he wants from the team. I mean, the quarterbacking is going to be the big question, but I also think that we know better than anyone that Ryan Fitzpatrick can squeak a win by anyone.
Yeah.
When he turns it on, he throws for six touchdowns. He throws for six touchdowns and you're like, what just happened? Yeah. But I don't know. I think it'll be close. I think you guys are right. I also think that Cam might not last the whole, like, there's so many question marks still around Cam. I think that
you never know.
The move made, like, there's no doubt about it. It was a great move. And I'm like excited, just like you are, Nick, for Cam to be on an NFL roster, especially one that I think can compete. And I think it was the right move that Belichick wanted and needed to make. But I just have a gut feeling that everyone's like, it can't be done. Like, Brady can't go to another team and like turn this team into a contender. But I've been proven wrong every time I've bet against the guy, like, ever.
Yeah.
I think the storybook ending for all of this is obviously Bucks Patriots Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean,
that'd be crazy.
That is. I don't know if I want to see it, but that is the story for sure. I mean, that's the 30 for 30 right there.
You don't want to see that?
I mean,
obviously, as a fan, like, you want your Broncos to be in there, but, like, come on, that would be cinematic.
It would be. Yeah, you couldn't script that any better.
Exactly. It'll be a real testament to, like, the inner workings of the locker room in the Patriots organization to see how Tom Brady, like, copes with everything, just how he looks out there. He feels right now from just, like, he's very open right on social media about how he's feeling about things. And he's very vocal. And, like, it seems like he's taken a big sigh of relief and that, like, that can't be hurtful to the guy. I think like he's just going to – there seems like there's going to be less pressure. I also think that Drew Brees is going to have a tremendous amount of pressure on him this year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with everything that happened in
him talking, stuff, yeah.
Yeah, off the field stuff. Like, I think that he's going to have a massive limelight on him. It's going to take away from Brady a little bit in the NFC South. And I think Brady's going to prosper because of that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Can't argue that.
I like the Saints, though. I mean, I hope they're competing because I always enjoy when they're taking it deep into the playoffs. Yeah,
they're fun.
Yeah, they got a good squad, so they'll be.
They're definitely fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be. It'll just be fun to see this season actually happen. What. You know, every year there's those two or three teams that surprise people. So I'm always curious what teams those will be this year. Like, did the Dolphins surprise people this year?
To have two of, in my opinion, the top five best quarterbacks of all time in the same division is just really cool. Something that's really cool for the sport.
Yeah. Of course. 100%. It's an exciting time. I mean, hopefully we get some, you know, some football. I know we got baseball coming back. We've got NBA coming back. A lot of sports to be covered here pretty soon. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. I know that you'll be back with us before the start of football season again. Make sure to check out the LA Football Network, guys. Yeah, and that's our show.
Yeah.
When's your next pod coming, Ryan?
Tomorrow, actually. So, yeah, I record, similar to you guys, release every Monday, Thursday. So,
check out. Yeah, so today. You can listen to today, actually, fans.
You going to be talking? What are you talking about?
You know, I'm still kind of I have two guests that I'm waffling between who's coming on. So, to give too much away, you'll have to just tune in.
You gotta put something in front of Mia and just make her arbitrarily point to one or the other to make the decision.
There you go. That's smart. Yeah, kind of like how puppies do it or whatever, like the octopus chose. We'll do that. That'd be fun. I like it. So, but thanks for having me on, guys. Always a pleasure. Always fun talking sports with you.
Good stuff.
We'll have to check back in during football season when everything's actually rolling, and then we can kind of see how everything's starting to play out with all of the predictions we've made.
Yeah, exactly. When the Bucks are 0-4 to start the year, we'll jump back on together and see.
Hey, I got no problem saying I was wrong. That's fine.
I'm just not a Brady guy. You know, I've voiced that, but hey, he's the best ever. So it is what it is.
Hope you guys enjoyed that show. It's an awesome one. And to the fans out there, drag both feet inbound, swing on a full count, rip that puck, hit that putt. Hit your PKs because they're free and hit your free throws. Why? Because they are free. We out ya. We love ya.
Puts it up.
It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Oh my God.
Derek Jeter, where fantasy becomes reality.
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.